Well, this is the title of this class, so do I have 2 o'clock yet? 5 till, 4:15, 3 after, who knows? Today, Lauren and I were trying to sync our watches and our phones. We have 4 different times. Terry Rush comes walking by and we go, what time do you have? We're going to go with Terry Rush time. We're in Tulsa. So we had 5, yeah, isn't that amazing? Yeah, this is what happens when you lose your eyesight. You got to get big buttons so you'll know how to button your clothes. My glasses aren't strong enough. My arms aren't long enough. My buttons got bigger, you know. I'll tell you about all these things, you know, when you get older, that all this stuff is going to happen. I think we should have some kind of a school you go through so you are prepared for this. But if you are in a class you're in a class that says why God needs grandma's widows and you. So if you were wanting to be in a class not at that title, you're in the wrong class. So I'm glad you're here today. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be here in Tulsa. I told Terry this morning we were having breakfast together, and I said, I don't even know why I'm here. This is crazy. I run a lot of ministries. This is one of them, and I'm amazed. No, Ann, you have to come sit up here. I don't project. My son says that's not true, Mom. I always heard you because I was always screaming at him. But I do not project well. I asked them for a mic, an application system, and they've informed me they don't have any in this room. So if you can't hear me, I really do suggest you move up closer because as I get talking and if any of you were in here yesterday, you'll know I'll get emotional. And when that happens, I tend to get a lower voice. So you may have trouble if you're back in the back of the room hearing me at that point. But it's like I told everybody the other day, this mic means I am being recorded. So if you don't hear me, get the CD, and then you can see me here and hear me later. So you could do that. You're here today because you have something that you feel like God is calling you to do. Because this is an unusual title at a spiritual event, Why God Needs Older Women. Some of you in here perhaps haven't even reached the stage of grandma, although you may be at the age. I have been at the age of grandma-ism for a lot longer than I've been at the stage. I'm fixing to be a new grandma, but I could have been a grandmother if my son would ever get married. That does help. I told him get it in the right order, you know, because he'll be 30 in May. So, you know, conceivably, play on words, I could have been a grandmother 7, 8 years ago, but he didn't cooperate. But my next son, who is the most compliant child in the world, Jake, got married, and now he's going to have a baby because his older brother is rebellious and he didn't get married, and he's not having babies, so I am going to be a grandmother. So regardless of your age, you may not be at the stage of being a grandma, but when you get to that age, there are just certain things that happen to us physically, unfortunately, emotionally, and I think spiritually, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. So I hope you're in the right class. I'm glad you're here. How many of you were in here yesterday to hear me talk about heart to home some? Okay, well, thank you for coming back. Obviously, I didn't do anything really bad and wrong. Or maybe I did, and you want to see if I mess up again today. She was so bad, she's got to get better, you know. So I do appreciate you coming back. I hope you learn a little bit more today about this ministry that I'm extremely passionate about. Those of you who weren't here yesterday, you're going to hear some things today that I hope will help start some jump-starting some thinking that maybe you've not thought about, or if you have been thinking this way, you will have a plan when you leave here of what to do with this kind of thinking. So let me start off. This is my husband and I. We were in Colorado 2 summers ago with our children. We take grown-up kid vacations now because our kids are adults. And you know, your kids go through all kinds of stages. And each one has its own certain blessings and certain challenges. I have enjoyed every single one of the stages my children have gone through, and I very seldom ever wanted to go back to a stage. You know, I was pretty glad to move on to the next one because I really enjoyed it. But I don't think I've ever enjoyed my kids more than enjoying them as adults. I love my children as adults. We are just having a fabulous time. And so we are going on grown-up adult vacations now until my grandson comes, and then we're going to be back at Disney World. So we were in the beautiful, beautiful mountains of Colorado. And my mother and my mother-in-law went along with us, and this is why we took them, because they were in the kitchen happily cooking for us breakfast and lunch and dinner, and they're both fabulous cooks. So we had a blast with them being there. But I'm showing this to you because this is what most of us think about when we get to that grandma time in life. Is there any of us that just don't yearn to sit on a porch in a rocker and look out at beautiful scenery? And there's really almost nothing that my mom down here in the corner, she's enjoying this view. This is off of the, we rented a house up there in Vail, Colorado, and this is our view that we got to see sitting out. We stayed outside the most of the time we were there because this is our view. Nothing my mother loves more than sitting and enjoying beautiful flowers and beautiful scenery. I mean, she was just in her heaven. She loved it. The only thing my mother really likes better than that is her grandkids. And my mother has a mess of them. right now, we're up to about 35 children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She started with six children, so, you know, out of six kids, you're going to have a lot of offspring. But my mother loves her grandchildren. So sitting on a porch is wonderful, but it's better when she gets to be with her grandchildren. And I want to tell you about that. Oh, I don't know if I told you this yesterday. Did I tell y'all? I don't know if y'all remember, but I just had to bring him along, you know. This is our little grandson-to-be who I just got an email from my daughter in love, and he will be here in 8 weeks. If he's compliant like his daddy, he'll be here in 8 weeks. If he's like his grandmother, he'll come on his own time when he wants to. So I thought I just had to tell you about that. But I'm telling you about grandmas and rocking chairs because as I've gotten to that stage in my life, I think God has cranked me up even more than when I was younger. Because I have been convicted by God and the teachings of His Word that there are no rocking chairs and retirement in God's kingdom work. He needs us to be about His business no matter what stage of life we're in. And I really have been convicted by the teachings in the Word that the older women in our churches are needed now desperately, more so than they've ever been needed before. We are in a time in our culture that's in crisis. I don't know how many of you got to hear Jeff Walling this morning when he was talking about the Battle of the Mind. What an awesome, awesome presentation. I want to get the whole series and listen to all of it in detail. Because this is so, so evident to all of us who are watching the younger generation struggle in this culture. I've said many times, I'm so glad I raised my kids when I did. I really, really have a strong sympathy for my children raising their children in the culture that's out there right now. We are in a battle for faith. And this is the reason that I know all of us that are at that grandma stage in life have got to say, we can't sit down in our rocking chairs and get comfortable yet. We still have a lot of work to do in the kingdom. We are one generation away from losing our faith. Losing our church. I'm so convicted about this because I know when little Bo Thomas gets here, I want him to have a faith so that his family can have that. I really want my little grandson to be able to look down the future of his life, which is just, he's just going to be beginning it in the next 2 months, and be able to know that there is going to be a church. And there are going to be a family of faith. And there's going to be a fellowship of people who are going to help him in his life as he's growing up. And that he will be able to have that support when he is a youth and when he's a teenager. And when he goes into his college age years, that there will be a strong church, even a stronger church. But if our generation, this huge group of baby boomers that were born from 1964 to 46, which I'm kind of right in the middle of that, if we don't do our jobs right, that generation beneath us, they're not going to have this church. We have got to make sure that we do not rest in our rocking chairs, grandmas. We have got to make good use of the time that God gives us. I have divided my life. This is just kind of the way I organize my life. I've divided my life into thirds. My first third of my life, I was real busy building my marriage, building my young life, getting my babies here. The next 30 years, I was building my family, getting my children raised, getting my careers established, doing that work. My children are launched now, so this third part of my life, I'm really hoping that God will give me enough good health, which is huge, enough good health and enough of what I need around me that I can help the younger generation to be all that God wants them to be. That's what I want to spend the next third of my life doing. And I want you to join me with that. I want you to join with me to make that something you're passionate about, to make sure that the younger generation coming behind us has a church family. So we can't take this for granted that it's just going to happen. We've got to do the work of the kingdom. I love what Acts tells us about the early church. When we read in Acts 2 about the excitement and the fervor and everything that was going on, because the church was... The Christians were being scattered, and the persecution from Rome was huge. And they were having to be immensely close and supportive of one another. And Acts 2 tells us a story about how the church was growing. And one of my favorite parts of all of Acts 2 is in the verses 40 and following. And it talks about that people in the church, now this is the early church. Remember, they didn't have nice church buildings that they could go to, and they had not yet gotten to the argument about fellowship halls and kitchens. They were basically meeting in homes all over. And God tells us that the church were meeting in homes daily, and they ate together daily. And they went to the temple and praised God on a regular basis. And the next verse after it talks about that they were meeting in each other's home regularly, eating together daily, is God added to their numbers, the numbers that were being saved. I have to believe there's a correlation there, because God didn't have to talk about that hospitality issue. But he said that, and out of the jillions of words that God could have chosen to be put in the inspired Word of God, he had to choose just a few. So I don't think any of them are in there by accident. I think the Holy Spirit put words in there on purpose, which is one reason, like Patrick Mead said, we really need to pay attention to those words, because those are the ones God chose for us to have in our hearts and have in our teaching. And he said they met together in their homes daily, and they ate together every day. So I think the element of hospitality is a huge principle of Christianity. So one of the things that Heart to Home, this ministry that I've been talking to you about, is a huge, huge part, an element, is the element of hospitality. I don't think you can separate living as a Christian and hospitality, which is having people in your home, sitting them at your table or at your kitchen counter, serving them a piece of pie and a coffee, fixing them a meal, being generous with your own personal intimate life with other people. Regardless of how big your home is, how nice it is, or whether you have to eat on paper plates or fine china, it doesn't make any difference. Because what we found about Christian hospitality, it's the heart. It's not the home. It's your heart. That's what shows. Think about that for a moment. People in your life who have influenced you, people who you know love you and care about you, probably 99% of the time you think about them, you've been in their home at some point. You were intimate and closely related to them to the point where they shared their personal experience with you by saying, come be in my home. You may not have had an elaborate meal. You may have even stood in the kitchen and made sandwiches together. But I believe that is the heart of true Christian hospitality, is being able to be in each other's home. I want to tell you a little story just to illustrate what I'm talking about, the importance of us helping each other in our faith walk, wherever we are in our stage of life. A couple of years ago, there was a mission group that headed down to Dominican Republic. And in that group, there was an older girl with a younger girl. They were cousins. The older girl happened to be a registered nurse. The younger girl was 12 years old. And they went down with a mission group from a church to help an orphanage full of children who had no mothers or daddies to take care of them. And as this mission group was there, they met the needs. They took clothes. They taught Bible studies. They took care of their medical needs. And they spent this time doing... How are you? Spending time just dedicating their lives in the sweating hot sun of the Dominican Republic in August. This was their heart of service for the Lord that these two young people did with this group that they went with. Let me go back a little further. Over 100 years ago, a young woman at 16 years old fell in love with a young man. They lived in neighboring farms. After a few days of seeing each other, and it didn't take long, a few months, they decided they were in love. She was 16, he was 22, and they got married. This young couple had a wonderful, wonderful young marriage, and things were going along well until the young husband had to go off to war and spent months over in Europe at war. When he came back, thankfully, very much intact and okay, he and this young woman settled down on a farm. He worked in a local lumber yard to help support them and their four young children. They raised this family. And at one point, the young wife, after these four children were born, attended a gospel meeting. Y'all remember those? It happened to be called a camp meeting. Some of you may know those. And it happened to be in a tent. And they had a traveling evangelist coming through. And this young woman went to the gospel meeting that night, heard about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, was baptized, and became a believer. She goes back into her home, and she raises her children to love the Lord, bringing them to church, teaching them about the Lord. She had three sons and a daughter. And as these young people grew up and got out and had their own wives, her only daughter marries a very handsome, tall, rugged basketball player who happened to be in the Marine Corps, and she was a cheerleader. And they fall in love and they get married. They're living in California and they decide they want to move to Oklahoma. And they move to Oklahoma and they have five kids, bam, 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 real quick. During the time where they were in Oklahoma and they were having these young children, the young wife, the young husband decided to go to a local church that was having some Bible meetings. So they went there. The husband really had not had a faith experience like his wife had. So as they're studying, they both decide they want to obey the gospel, and they're baptized together. And that young couple raised their children. Another one is added. They have six kids. And they add to their number daily the people who are serving Jesus in that little home. They move on and all their kids grow up, all their children grow up, have grandkids, and that young cheerleader who married that young handsome Marine has children and then grandchildren. And her granddaughters go to Dominican Republic on a mission trip. One's a nurse, one's a younger cousin, and they're working in an orphanage. I want you to know how the cycle of life works, because you're already thinking about this. If that young woman who married over 100 years ago had not become a woman of faith during her marriage and passed that on generationally, my daughter may not ever have known the gospel. But because of my grandmother and the faith she passed to my mother, and then mother passed it down to me, and I passed it to my daughter, my daughter's doing mission work. She just got back from a month-long trip in Ghana. She's been to Mexico, Dominican Republic. She's a nurse. She's passionate about mission work. And I really do give so much of the credit, not to me, not even to my mother, but to my grandmother, who over 100 years ago when she was born, a few years later, she made the decision to serve Jesus Christ. Is generational faith real? Oh, it is so real. You can track it. All of you sitting here have a story, and it may be just not like this, but you know that you're not here today just because of your own bootstraps. Your Christian bootstraps were put there by some people who came before you, and maybe it was someone in a youth group or someone in a church setting. It may have been someone at a summer camp. It may be some woman who came up beside you when you were a young wife and helped you, but it was because of a relationship, a friendship that you had with someone, that you're serving God today. It's why you're here at the Tulsa Workshop, because someone influenced you so that you wanted to learn to love Jesus better and more. It's why you're here today, because of the importance of passing our faith on to somebody else. That's one of the reasons that I am so passionate about this ministry. It's because I believe when this charge was given to Titus from Paul to go into this small island that was just full of a pagan community, that these people that were in these churches coming out of this pagan community needed to know what living like a Christian was all about. So he charged Titus to teach the older women and the older men, to teach the younger generation how to live holy lives. Titus 2, 3-5 says, teach the older women to teach what is good. They can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will be able to look down on God. That's what we need to be doing, ladies. We cannot sit in a rocking chair and just, you know, rock our way into heaven. If we do, I'm afraid this younger generation will not have a chance at having families of faith. Let me tell you another story. There was a young woman in our church who, years ago, when she was in her, not even quite in her teens, around 12 years old, basically became an orphan. Her mother was shot and killed by her dad. So her dad went to prison for life, and she became an orphan. Through the generosity of her grandparents, she was able to be raised in Christian homes, through both of her grandparents' homes. And she was surrounded by a church family who helped grow her up. But she had a pretty broken life. And her testimony is so huge, I wouldn't do it justice to tell you every single part. But I will tell you, as she was growing up as a young woman, with really no foundations as an orphan of what a mom and daddy and a husband and wife really look like, she went through two marriages and two divorces very quickly, and her life was rocky. God intervened and brought a wonderful man into her life to become her third husband. And in her third husband, that marriage, she put down feet really solid on the rock of faith and said, okay, now I know what I'm about, who I'm supposed to be. And she had two children. She's raising those children in the Lord. What she never had, though, in all her remembrance growing up, was a relation with someone that could be a mom figure. And she needed that. Well, today, when I have Mindy come and talk for me and teach stories, she'll say she doesn't just have one mom now. She has dozens of them because of Heart to Home. Because God tells us in James, pure and undefiled religion is to what? Take care of the widows and the orphans. And that's one of the things that Heart to Home has gotten really good at, taking care of widows and taking care of orphans. And taking care of Mindy has been one of the most blessed things that I think I've ever experienced. It's helping her to be a young wife, a young mom, a young soldier in God's army, and teaching her and coming alongside her and supporting her. And guess who's done that? A lot of our widows. My mother and my mother-in-law are both widows. They both have taught Bible classes forever in a day, taught at camps. They've done all of that. Both of them are, well, I won't tell my mother's age. That's not fair. But I'm 58 and she had me when I was 20. So that, I'm not going to tell you how old she is, though. And I'm not good at math, so I don't really. But those two women are some of the most passionate women about Heart to Home. They see the need for these young women to have mama and grandma-like leaders and mentors in their lives. And so they've taken Mindy and other women like her and brought them into their home once a month for a meal and fellowship around a table, a Bible study, prayer, and just making friends. And those lives of those young women now have a rock to stand on, because they can look at these women who've already been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and say, you know, she knows what this is like. Because we're real when we're doing mentoring. When we're in friendship with these young women, we don't tell them how wonderful we are. We hope they catch that every once in a while. We tell them where God has been faithful in the valleys. How we went through tough times. How we struggled in our young marriages. How we didn't always have our act together. And if any of you have your act together, you need to be teaching at the Tulsa Workshop, not me. I'm still working on it. I can't even find my act most of the time. If I didn't have Lauren, I wouldn't even know where it was. That's not what we want to share. We want to share authentic faith. We want to be able to tell the young women, sweetie, this is a tough time you're going through, but I'm telling you, you stay faithful to God, He'll stay close to you. And you share with them how God has helped you. You talk about your spiritual valleys, where you were in a place where I didn't know if God was really real either. But here I've been on this journey with God for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And God remains faithful even if you're not. He never turns His back. Those are the kind of stories that help these young women that are in this battle of the mind, the battle of the culture, to stay faithful, because we're there to say, you can do it. We are an army of women who come alongside these women, these single women who are struggling out there to figure out, you know, what is my purpose in life? What am I supposed to be doing? Any of you have single Christian women in your church? Many of them are struggling right now. They don't know what their purpose is, what they're supposed to be doing. They need older women to come alongside them and help them and nurture them and pray for them and teach them and befriend them. We also have quite a few women in our churches right now who've been divorced. With the divorce rate at 50% in the church and out of the church, if you don't have divorced people in your church, you're doing something wrong. Because they're part of our culture. And we know that divorced people are saved people. They're just divorced. And there are a lot of problems that a lot of people are going through, struggling with, where's my purpose now? What can I do in my life? Who am I? And they are struggling sometimes because they've been like Mindy, divorced twice, now on her third marriage. We've got to be a voice of maturity and wisdom to help them develop their faith life, help keep them strong, get them back in the Word. I have never seen a time, and I'm old, where more people don't know the Word of God. don't even know, you know, is Psalms in the Bible? You know, they've heard Psalms is a good place. They don't even know how to find it. And they don't know anything about Revelation. I don't know a whole lot, but I do know where it is. It's the last book in the Bible. But many of our young women do not know what the Bible is all about. They don't know scriptures. They don't know Bible verses. So one of the things that Heart to Home does, it helps get them into your homes. It helps to help you to have a friendship with them and link your heart with them so that you'll have an opportunity to sit down and talk to them about the Bible. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar. We're not talking about that you had to go through some seminary school. Just what informs your life? How do you get through those times where things are not looking great? What do you do when you're totally out of patience with your husband or your grandchildren or the people at work? What do you do to get your mind in the right place? And we come alongside this younger generation and say, you can do it too. One of the things that I told you yesterday, if you were in here, is there is a place for every single woman in your congregation in Heart to Home. Every woman qualifies from 18 to 100. Our oldest heart mom in our particular church is 98 years old. Hugely, hugely vast information about how to live a life of faith. Married and buried, three husbands. And bless her heart, has so much spiritual wisdom. It's amazing. I wish we could write the book of Lori and just have everything that she has learned about God. She's an amazing woman. There's a place for her in Heart to Home. But when you look at all the ministries, and if y'all are familiar with White's Free Road Church of Christ in West Monroe, Louisiana, that's who we are. If you would look at all the ministries we do, it would be hard to find a place for Lori to plug in because of her age and stage in life and her health issues. But guess what? She is active in ministry. She is a heart mom in Heart to Home. And once a month, a group of women, anywhere from 8 to 15, get to sit at her feet and hear her stories of faith and what she has done and what God has done in her life. But without a ministry like this, I don't know how any of us would ever have that blessed experience. It's an amazing thing to be able to connect with not just the older, but the oldest generation that's still here. Can you think of anybody in your church family that you wish you had a chance just to sit down with and just hear? A program like this gives you the opportunity to make a place for that to happen. I want to quickly tell you this. Right now, we are standing on the edge, I think, in the Church of Christ, of some of the greatest opportunities that we may have ever faced. Because we have a great generation of young people coming up. I'm a little prejudiced because three of them belong to me. So I think they're pretty awesome. But I see their authenticity. My husband and I talk a lot about how we're so amazed at the spiritual maturity of our children in their 20s versus where we were in our 20s. You may not experience this. You may have been a spiritual giant at 25. But knowing what I know now, I wasn't even a midget. I was so small at 25. But what my children know about the Lord and what He means in their life in their 20s, it's amazing. And there are thousands of them all through our congregation. So I think we have an opportunity to build the church now like we may have never had before. Because we have this amazing wealth of young people who are just waiting for the older generation to make that connection and bring them in to church leadership and help them to grow. But we've got to do some things right if that's going to happen. Some of you are sitting right now and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I've got 3, 4, 6, a dozen young women that I am in close friendship with, and it's awesome. I love being partners with them in our church. I love being friends with them and their family. But there are some of you that are sitting out here and say, you know, I don't even really know any of the young families. I mean, I know who they are, but I don't know the young single women. I don't know the young. I don't even know how I would get to know them. that's one reason that I think we have to take Titus 2 and put legs on it. And this is what's happening now among a lot of churches that are growing, is they are putting together a system, a program, to make this happen. Because, you know what? At one time, this happened automatically in churches. And I know that because I was mentored this way by older women in my church when I was a young woman, raising my children, having my babies, first married. I had a lot of older women in that church who took me to lunch, who brought me, who would ask me to come to lunch in their home, have me over for supper at night, mentored my husband and I. And it was ongoing hospitality. The church was like that at one time. But it's not like that anymore. Our culture has changed so much. We don't naturally do that. So what's happening is those of us that are in churches that are really growing, we're saying, because that's not just naturally coming out of us, we need to come up with a system, a program. And that's why I wrote Heart to Home. It's because I saw so many women in our church who, like me, loved the young people, but we didn't have a way to connect. And I built this program so that it would be super fun to do it. And if you ever want to come to West Monroe and come to one of my Heart to Home or to Lauren's or to Carol's, you will have one of the funnest times of your life. We like to call it forced fun. You know, it's a planned program to come and have a good time. But once you're in it, you don't ever want to not do it. It's the most wonderful opportunity to be able to have these small groups with young women who are so grateful. And they are so grateful to have your time and attention. That you would spend 2 to 3 hours of your evening, and they don't know that it takes a lot more than just 2 to 3 hours, because they just show up and it's done. And we just love on them. And we treat them royally, and we're so happy to see them. And we give them a space in their busy, busy lives to just rest and say, we want you to just focus on you growing in the Lord tonight. This is just, it's a retreat, is what one of the young women, we call them Heart Sisters. One of the young Heart Sisters told me it was like that brush of fresh air that comes through a window. She said, it's like a retreat when I come to Heart to Home. She's got 4 little kids. I bet it is. And Daddy's home keeping them, and she stays as long as she can so they'll be in bed before she gets home. I remember her being in my group, and I was looking at my watch thinking, everybody else has been gone for about 30 minutes. Carrie, don't you need to get home? Well, I bet Mark didn't have the baby down yet. So. It is. It's just so refreshing. And they love getting the attention and the time and the loving that we can do as older women. So that's why I think that in order to do Titus 2 effectively in 2010 going forward, we're going to have programs. Because it's hard with all of, none of you are coming to Tulsa because you just had so much time on your hands. You know, what should I do this week? I don't know. I don't ever have anything to do. Tulsa! No. You've probably had to carve this out very carefully and micromanage every bit of your life to make it possible to come for these few days to be here. Because everybody's busy today. And what this program does, it will come in and show you how to manage this in your church family with the women in your church. It will show you how to do it. I can come to your church and in a 4-hour workshop, I can train you in all the materials, and when I leave there, you will know how to do it. You will be confident you can do it, and you will be so pumped up and so excited that you will want every church around you to get one of these programs because it's so awesome. I've been doing it almost 7 years now as a heart mom and as a director of our ministry, and every single day I get a blessing from God because of it. I get phone calls like a lady told me, when my daughters moved out of state after they got married, I thought I wouldn't have any more daughters anymore. And now I have like 8. And she's been doing it long enough now where she's accumulated dozens and dozens of young women who love her and she loves on them. And their children are like her grandchildren. Her life is full and blessed. It's like the blessing that I get when someone will call and say, Jonia, we had a Bible study last night. And I said, oh, good, because you're supposed to have a Bible study at Heart to Home. She said, no, I meant after everybody left. We had a Bible study because one of our girls brought her mom, and her mom is not a Christian. And we had a Bible study, and we're going to baptize her mom this Sunday at church. See, I didn't know that God had that plan when I wrote this material, but you know, whoops, God, He's so much smarter than I am. You and God may have the same brain, but I don't. He had this in mind all along. If you'll read through my materials, there's just, I don't think I have anything written about how to do evangelism. Y'all remember years ago, those of you who've been in the Church of Christ a long time, friendship evangelism? That's what this is. I mean, I didn't know it. But this is just building a relationship with someone that's not in the family of faith, and they come to love you, and you come to love them, and they want to know what you're all about. So this young woman, who was not comfortable asking her mom to come sit with her in worship on Sunday morning, felt comfortable saying, why don't you come to Kay's house tonight? Mom, we're going to have supper. She didn't have to mention we're having a Bible study. And she comes, and all these women love on her and love on her mom, talk about how she loves her daughter and loves her kids, which is her grandchildren. And she's like, oh, I've never been around people like this. I mean, I'm a total stranger, and they're loving on me and praying for me. Evangelism just naturally happens out of that, because when you're acting like a Christian, guess what? Other people say, how did you learn how to act like that? So Heart to Home is an evangelism tool that God said needs happen. And when God decides something's going to happen, you just hide and watch, because it's going to happen. It's a natural result of becoming friends with people, and they want to know more about who you are. I appreciate you being here today, and I am very, very grateful for your faithfulness in the kingdom work. I'm going to just ask you, if you have not thought about becoming a mentor to a younger woman before, to think about it now in a different way, and to think, I want to do this. If you have a program already in your church that's working, you've not been involved, get involved in it and become a mentor. If you have had this in the back of your mind for a while, you've read Titus 2, you've heard it, and you're like, I know I should be doing that. I'm an older woman now. I don't know how to do it. Give me a call. Talk to me. If I'm not available, Lauren will be. And we will teach you and show you how to do it. You can go on my website and learn even more about Heart to Home. If you didn't get a packet yesterday and you want to have some more information, come by our booth at 612 and we'll give you a booth. What I really hope happens as a result of me talking about this here in Tulsa is that Churches of Christ throughout our country, Canada, I don't know how far he wants it to go, all over the world if he wants it, bring women up out of the pews to start bonding with the younger women of the generation behind us and helping them to be stronger in their faith, so that their children and their grandchildren and your grandchildren will always have a family of faith to live in. Thank you for coming. God bless all of you.